Mending broken relationships. I think maybe before we go, Father, why don't we just stand for prayer? Stand. Our Father in heaven, we pause now at this moment. We ask that you would come with your Spirit, that you would be here and speak to our hearts. Lord, you know the hearts of each individual present this evening. Those that may be listening in, you know the journeys. God, you know the relationships that may be broken. And Lord, we just plead tonight that your word would speak to our hearts and encourage us and strengthen us in these relationships. Lord, we want to be pure in your eyes and in your sight. When you come to take us home, we want to be ready. Pray that you would bless the remainder of this service. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. It's a certain amount of trepidation that one has in looking at a subject like this, mending broken relationships, because it's a tender subject. If I could just plead with you just at the outstart of the message to think just with me for a moment. I shouldn't say plead with you. What I want to plead with you is that each of us would take a personal look at our lives and how we're relating to people in the midst of whatever it might be that you're in. Because tonight, if we do not look personally at our lives, if I do not look at my life, if you do not look at your life, we're going to start off on the wrong foot right from the get-go. So I just plead with you tonight. I do not know you. I know you basically surface relationships, many of you. I do not know you deeply. So I come with a sense of freeness tonight to speak, and I like that liberty. So if I say something tonight that steps on your toes, it's not my intention. I do not know. Do not know you. I'm not trying to say something particularly about your situation. I know my situation. I know my journeys. And I know life can be different for others as well. I'm going to ask you to do something. Think just a little bit about the person that has hurt you the most. And you identify someone in your life that has caused you the most pain. Hurt you the most. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but how many have identified yourself? Have you thought about yourself and how you hurt yourself? Or did your mind go to someone else? You see, ourselves stand in the way a lot of times of a lot of mending that can be done. Our own personal self. We struggle with ourselves. You know, we love ourselves, but sometimes it is our own heart, our own self, that has caused us the most pain. Let me think about that for a little bit. I'd like you to turn with me to John chapter 3. I'd like to read a few verses here to get us started. I'm going to jump right on to the heels of the thought that I just shared about ourselves. John chapter 3, and I want you to read verses 16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Tonight, mending broken relationships, it is foundational that we understand that God is a God of relationship. God loves relationship. He seeks relationship with you and I. And he has sent his only begotten Son into the world to die, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, that the relationship would not continue in a broken state, but that they would have everlasting life, new and fresh life. It is foundational, I think, that we understand that in the midst of a broken relationship, we're going to talk about this more, just identify these words just a little bit in a moment, but that we identify that our relationship with Jesus is paramount to all other relationships. A solid relationship with Jesus, with God through the work of Jesus, is paramount. Let's look at the title just briefly. What are we talking about? Well, what is mending? Sisters, you know what mending is. You do it all the time. Mending is to improve and restore to good health. Or we could say it's mending, as I thought about, is sewing together, patching the hole in the jeans. It's sewing it back together again. The other weekend we were together and the boys wanted to take a bike ride. And it was down a fairly steep driveway. It was paved driveway. And my mind went to that steep driveway. And boys, being boys, how's that going to work out in the long run? And they wanted permission to go on a bike ride. Well, sure. Go ahead. Go on a bike ride. Well, it wasn't long until one of the dads came and he said, which one of the boys is wearing a tan jacket? Well, that spells trouble. All right. The dad said, oh yeah, it's so-and-so's jacket. Well, he took a tumble. He wrecked his bike. But I seen him get up again and he hopped on and they're biking off. I think everything is good, but he tumbled pretty good. Well, after they come back from the bike ride, we saw that, yes, the young man did take a tumble, and the jeans were ripped open. And when you have ripped open jeans, you wonder what's beneath the ripped open jean. Well, there was torn flesh, too. There was a scrubbed knee, and the blood was running a little bit. And, of course, the parents hopped up and take a look, and everything ended up okay. But there was a broken, there was something that happened there. The jeans were torn. There was mending that needed to be done, or maybe the jeans got thrown away. By virtue of this, we're talking about something that is unhealthy, relationship that's unhealthy. It's broken. What does broken mean? Broken simply means shattered. Picture a broken window. The ball hits a window and boom, it's shattered, it's broken. What is a relationship? It is the state whereby persons receive and give love and encouragement to others that results in a bond of heartfelt unity. I'll say that again. A relationship is the state whereby persons receive and give love and encouragement to others that results in a bond of heartfelt unity. That's relationship. And there are varied relationships. Tonight we're talking about a broad, we're painting with a broad brush this evening. A broad brush. It includes marriage, school teacher to student, pastor to laity, laity to pastor. It's a broad brush in our relationships. Proverbs 18:19 says this: a brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle. Does it sound familiar? Are you involved in a relationship that's shattered and broken? You wish it was different. The Bible says that a brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city. A strong city is pretty hard to win, isn't it? They say an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. You see, we live in a fallen world. And what I say about myself hurting myself the most. We live in a fallen world. We live with hearts that are bent toward wrong. And there are times when we say things in a weak moment that we should not have said and are hurtful to someone else. There are times when we cause pain to other people. There are times when we are selfish about how someone is relating to us and treating us. We can become bound up in a heart of bitterness and anger and become in bondage to our own feelings and our own emotions and hinder the mending process. We're going to look at that more in just a bit. I would like to look, first of all, in this message, I would like to look at attitudes or actions, we could say, that cause wounds in our relationship. I'd like to look at that first of all. We're going to talk about mending, yes. But what are some attitudes or actions of our heart or our lives that can cause wounds to the relationships of those that we relate to? And I think, loved ones tonight, that we must reckon with these things. We must reckon with these things. And ask ourselves the question, how am I doing? Really, how am I doing in relating to people? Another one, and there's so much that can be said in this, and I stand here tonight not as one who has a perfect track record. I stand here tonight with challenges in relationships, I do. I want God to teach me and to lead me. But number one is anger. An attitude of the heart or an action that can cause a wound in our relationships is anger. When anger is present in our heart, it will hinder the mending process of a broken relationship. Proverbs 29:22, an angry man stirreth up strife, and a furious man aboundeth in transgression. That's what the Bible says, that an angry man stirs up strife. Okay? And he aboundeth in transgression. It's not a good thing when you see a hornet nest to try to take a long stick and stir in it. That's not a good thing. you're going to get hurt. An angry man stirs up strife. Proverbs 14:17, he that is soon angry dealeth foolishly, and a man of wicked devices is hated. Proverbs 22:24, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go. James 1:19, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. 3 points. Anger stirs things up. Anger blinds the mind of rational thinking. Anger does not produce a path of right actions. I'm talking about anger in its, I believe there is a righteous anger, a righteous indignation that can be used for good, that spurs us on to action, stirred in the heart and spurs us to action. I'm talking about the wrong kinds of anger. That's what I'm talking about. We're talking about mending broken relationships, okay? It's hard to stitch two pieces of cloth together that are full of holes. Jesus, the shed blood of Jesus, has the power to mend those cloths so they can be stitched. Second one, attitude of the heart, and that is pride. Proverbs 13:10, only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. And you know, I don't know how it is with you, but I wrestle with that proverb. Only by pride cometh contention. Is that really true? The Bible says it. It must be true. If I'm having a struggle in a relationship, does that mean that there is pride either in my heart or in the heart of the other individual? If there's contention, is that what that means? That's what it means, right? Proverbs 28:25, he that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife. Here it is again. But he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made fat. Haman could be an example. A proud heart stirring up strife. He couldn't enjoy life as long as Mordecai was sitting there at the gate. He couldn't enjoy life. Let's deal with the pride in our hearts. We're talking personal tonight. Number three, and that is contention. What is contention? Contention is an eagerness to get into a quarrel, to get into an argument. The Bible tells us to avoid foolish questions and those things that gender strife. We're to avoid them. To live in peace. Proverbs 26:21, as coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. Contention. Number four is talebearing. Attitudes of the heart is talebearing. What is a talebearer? It is someone who is quick to gossip. Proverbs 18:8, the words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Proverbs 20:19, he that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets. Therefore, meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. One of the things that hinders relationships is this thing of talebearing and gossip. We're talking about mending broken relationships. If we're guilty, well, let's move on. tale-bearing, saying those things that are not true. Passing, even if it is true, passing it on. And sometimes it's really pride in our heart that we want to be lifted up. We had the latest juicy news about whatever it was. Well, we forget about loving the individual who it is about and praying. And number five, attitudes of the heart, is simply hatred. We say we would never hate someone. No, we wouldn't do that. Proverbs 10:12, hatred stirs up strife, but love covereth all sins. Proverbs 14:21, he that despiseth his neighbor sinneth, but he that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he. 1 John 2:11, but he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. Hatred blinds the eyes from seeing the good in another person. Hatred blinds the eyes from seeing the good in another person. Tonight, I hope that I'm preaching to a group of people who have superb relationships in their lives. But I tend to think that if they asked a speaker to come and speak on a subject like this, then maybe there are situations that are otherwise. If these attitudes are present in our hearts, they need to be repented of and forsaken before any amount of restoration, I should say, before any amount of long-lasting restoration can take place. I'd like you to turn with me to Luke chapter 15 at this point. You'll recognize this as being the story of the prodigal son. And I just want to note to you what the prodigal son's testimony is. And we could ask the question, was this a broken relationship? Was this a broken relationship? I think, as far as maybe earthly looking at it, we would say it was broken. But yet the father in his heart still had a relationship with the son that was bound in the heart of the father, I believe. We see the father heart of this father. This father is a tremendous story of healing and of coming back. And I want to read just a few verses. Verse 18 of Luke 15. Well, okay, so let's start at verse 17. It's talking about the son. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? Notice verse 18. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. You see, there was a turning point in this son's life where he was willing to own, and he was willing to confess where his heart has been. I will rise. When he came to himself, he said, I will rise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned. And we're going to look at this more in just a moment. I have sinned. Tonight, if we're in a relationship that's broken, it is our responsibility to deal with the attitudes that are present in our heart that may have lended to the broken relationship. It is our responsibility to deal with those before God. And to leave our partner to the hand of Almighty God and pray. I want to be clear on that. I hope I am. I will rise and go to my Father. Now let's move on. Let's look at Christian responses in broken relationships. You find yourself in a relationship that is broken. We're just going to enlarge on this just a little bit more. Christian responses in broken relationships. Maybe we could just give some illustrations. These may be sensitive, but just they're real and they happen. 20 years ago, they were married. They enjoyed many happy years together. She enjoyed getting up in the morning and seeing her husband off to work, and she thought he was enjoying the relationship as well. But she has just found out that her husband has been seeing another woman. What shall she do? Two church brothers decide to get together for a breakfast meeting. Brother A noticed there seemed to be a strain in their relationship and desired to make amends or desired to talk about it. In the course of the conversation, Brother B very emphatically states that he has been hurt by something that Brother A has said, and their relationship will never be the same. What shall Brother A do? Two families have been going to church together for many years. As time goes on, there begins to be a shift in the thinking patterns of some in leadership. Sides begin to form, and in the course of time, the two families find themselves on different sides of the conflict. Whenever they get together, conversation seems to gravitate toward the subject of church issues. Since both of them cannot see eye to eye, they begin to resent getting together, and a wall begins to form. What shall they do? And the list goes on and on. These are real things. We deal with things like this. We live in a fallen world, and there is sin. And you know what happens? Often, these are extreme in a lot of ways, but the ball just hit the window. The ball just hit the window. How strong is the window in your heart? How strong? A lot of times, things shatter. But you know, even if things go to pieces, I want to call you back again to the Word of God. And our relationship with God is so important in the midst of those situations, because it is possible, brethren and sisters, to not go to pieces in the midst of the pieces. There is hope with God and the Father. Christian responses in broken relationships. Number one, I must be willing to evaluate my heart's intentions. I must pray fervently for God to show me my heart's condition. An honest, true heart, seeking God to reveal to me. Psalm 139:23, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. There have been times in my life where I experienced the discomfort of strained relationships. And sometimes as I evaluated my responses, I knew that there was something, the way I responded or something, was not under the blood, and I needed to go and ask for forgiveness. If we truly ask God to show us our heart, He will, by the aid of His Spirit, show us. He will show us. How does this happen? How does God show us? Well, He shows us by His Spirit, through the Word, relationship with Him. He shows us if there's something wrong with me. But I will also seek counsel with an honest friend. Seek counsel with an honest friend. You see, David, when he fled from Saul, he said before Jonathan, he says, "What have I done? What is mine iniquity, and what is my sin before thy father, that he seeketh my life?" And Jonathan said unto him, "God forbid that thou shalt not die. Behold, my father will do nothing, either great or small, but that he will show of me. And why should my father hide this thing from me? It is not so." In the midst of a broken relationship, I think a Christian response is to ask an honest friend, to ask someone who will tell us honestly, "What have I done?" Number two, we're talking about mending broken relationships. Number two is, I must be approachable. I must be approachable. The Bible tells us of Nabal that he was a man that was unapproachable. He was a hard man. And he was such a son of Belial that man could not speak to him. He couldn't talk to him. He wasn't approachable. He couldn't be appealed to. How am I? Can I be appealed to? Am I approachable? Many relationships remain broken today because individuals are not willing to listen to the voice of God and also the voice of others that speak into their lives. The truest depth of a Christian's love for God is seen in how he relates to those who he associates with. The Bible says, if we don't love those, our brother, we walk in darkness. Maybe a good check for us would be to ask someone close to us how we relate. Maybe a dad should ask his wife how he relates to the family. Do they feel like they have to walk on eggshells? Do they fear if they say something wrong that things will blow up? There'll be a big blow up. An essential ingredient to conflict resolution is a willingness to listen. Just simply a willingness to listen. Proverbs 12:15, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise." You see, in the midst of broken relationships, the tendency is to think that we really know what's wrong with the other person, and if they would just learn, things would be better. That may be true. It may not be true. I also want to say, I wanted to say this at the outset, and it comes to my mind now, and that is that truth and relationship are not equal. Okay? What I mean by that is the Christian who is following the Word of God, living for God, sold out for God, following the commands of the Scripture, is going to live diametrically opposed to those who are not. What does that mean? He's going to live on opposite spectrums. And there just may be a relationship that you're involved in, business, whatever it is, where you're standing on truth, you're standing on principle, and it costs a relationship. That's what I mean by truth and relationship not being equal. Will you sacrifice truth? Never sacrifice truth. There is a God-given way of loving amidst those situations. It does not have to turn bitter and angry and extreme turmoil. But truth is truth. Just wanted to plug that in there. I'm not by any means giving a license to just go and just, you know what I mean, right? Truth is truth. Stand on truth. Number three, mending broken relationships, Christian responses. I must take the initiative to go and seek reconciliation with the other person. Matthew 5:23 says, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, I'm coming to the altar to sacrifice a gift, and I remember that my brother hath aught against me. The Bible says that I'm to leave my gift at the altar, and I am to go and first be reconciled to my brother before I come and sacrifice, offer my gift. Relationships are important to God. I must take the initiative to go. I think tonight that there are relationship struggles among us and in our group because we are simply unwilling to talk about it. We're simply unwilling to go to someone and say, you know what? Can we talk about something? But we must be open. We must listen. Reconciliation involves honesty. Christian reconciliation means that I am willing to do what is within my power to make peace. We must be honest with ourselves and we must be honest with the other individual. We must allow other people the ability to say ouch when something hurts that we have done. We must allow people that. And when a brother or sister talks to us about whatever it is that maybe we have hurt them by, we do well to just take it honestly and listen. Going to a brother or sister, or otherwise, and seeking reconciliation does not automatically guarantee that the relationship will be restored. What it does guarantee is that you have cleared yourself before God and them. And it takes an honest heart to both speak and be spoken to when on either side of that spectrum. Honesty is huge in establishing, mending, and maintaining relationships. Number four, I must be willing to exercise biblical forgiveness. Brother Linden said at our revivals, and I appreciated his comment about forgiveness. He said that forgiveness is giving up the hope of a better past. Forgiveness is giving up the hope a better past, something like that, he said. Forgiveness is founded in the forgiveness of God. Ephesians 4:32, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Matthew 6:12, And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Philippians 2:13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It is with the plan of God and the finished work of Jesus that makes it possible that justice and mercy can meet at the cross. And you see, guilt will either drive a person deeper into self or closer to the cross of Jesus. So, if you're feeling guilt about a relationship, you're feeling guilt about this broken relationship you're in, seek freedom. Forgive. Forgive. Go and confess to the other person, the other party. It is so essential that we find comfort and healing at the cross. Forgiveness sees God in the bigger picture. It is willing, forgiveness is willing to let go and to pray. You know, I believe the prodigal son's father was a father of forgiveness. I can just see the father walking out and just watching the road home. Just watching the road home. He forgave the son. He's looking for that person coming. Can your relationship be mended if the other person or parties had the heart that you have? Forgiveness sees God in the bigger picture. Joseph said, yeah, we could look at the story of Joseph, his heart of forgiveness for his brothers. We must remember that denial is not forgiveness. Sometimes people will block the hurt that has been done to them and try and refuse to think about it. They may actually think that they have forgiven the other person, but the holding power is still alive. They go back and they revisit it, but the holding power is still there. You see, if we curl up in bitterness, it is this kind of response to hurts that will cause a person to become controlling over others, come controlling over their situations, trying to shield themselves from further hurt and from further shame. John Koblenz says in his book of Getting Along with People God's Way, he says this: you cannot forgive what you have not faced. In other words, you cannot forgive what you're not willing to just face it for what it is. Face it. Forgive. Can I forgive a person who has not asked to be forgiven? Yes, we can. With the help of God, we can forgive. I think of the prayer of the publican and the Pharisee. You know, there's two different prayers. And the publican standing there just smote his breast and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I believe his heart was just as humble and as low at that point. God, just be merciful to me, a sinner. But our human heart wants to lift ourselves up. How are you doing? Are you willing to forgive? Number 5, relationships in the mending process require faith and trust. In order for trust to be able to take root, the barriers need to come down. The barriers need to come down. And this is a lifelong process and does not happen overnight. Barriers are lines of resistance. This quote I got, barriers are lines of resistance. Sort of like when you're driving down the highway and and you're coming into a construction zone, and they're taking your lane from over here, and they're shifting it over here, well, there's barriers there, and you don't want to hit the barrier. You follow the barriers, and you safely navigate your way around. But there is a time when the barriers are taken down, and the new road is there. It is in the presence of barriers when communications break down to the point of false accusations and blame shifting. These are hard things. These are hard things. What I'm saying is that mending broken relationships, we're talking about relationships that are on the way back, okay? There's been broken trust. There's been confession. There's been amends. There's whatever it is. And someone is trying to build the relationship with you again. The barriers must start coming. And someone must be able to love you again. Because that is what the gospel is all about. And it takes time. It takes time. How do you do that, preacher? I've tried that. I just got hurt again. I know. These things are not easy. And there are times when I think it is wise to have boundaries. I think there's some difference between boundaries and barriers. Won't go into that maybe, but sometimes there is times to have some boundaries. But I want to say again, we need a relationship with Jesus and with our fellow brethren and sisters. You see, there was a man who was told by the Lord in Acts chapter 9, there was a certain disciple of Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth. And he hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias said, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to the saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. This is also talking maybe about forgiveness too. Verse 17, and Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, Brother Saul. Not every relationship will be restored. Not everyone will be restored. We're talking about mending broken relationships. I wanted somehow to share the burden of my heart of how important it is that we take self-examination, that we look at ourselves. You see, when we're living and we're relating to people, you can be a giver or you can be a taker. If you continually withdraw from your bank account without putting anything back in, eventually you will have trouble, right? Say the best financial advice is to not spend more than you make. Well, it's sort of the same in relating to people. If you continue to withdraw from people, pull out of relationships, but you're unwilling to put anything back into them, it's going to lead to trouble. It's going to lead to problems. Romans 12, reading a few verses in closing. Romans 12, 17, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. You know, sometimes there are people who are trying to feed us. They're trying to give us a cup of water. And we say, no, I'm not going to take it. Let us look at our own hearts.